I would just like to connect to the cluster of all the verses together, because it's very helpful to understand, as the brethren talk to us about reconciliation, what it means from God's side of things. If we said salvation means to be delivered from all the consequences of sins, reconciliation is everything is made right according to God, not according to us. According to God. That's what reconciliation is. Making things right according to God. How did he make it right? He made right the first one we have read about the blood reconciling. And that has its universal aspect of it. Not you and me yet. It is on things on earth and things in heaven. But this company under the earth is never reconciled. The only thing that the company that is under the earth will acknowledge is the Lordship of Christ. And one day they will confess him as Lord to the glory of God the Father. But when it comes to the work of making things right according to God, that blood of his, because the previous verse it says the blood, has made things, everything right according to the mind of God. But the word that he says, and he made peace. How could you put reconciling and peace together? Because when God made peace, he never does it on the expense of the truth. Sometimes that's our attitude, to make peace on the expense of the truth. But God is God, and he will never do things right according to him unless peace and truth are brought together. Somebody has to pay for this reconciliation. He didn't overlook the payment. There was a payment. It was the blood of the Lord Jesus. But then when it comes to you and to me, now listen to this carefully, because the scriptures gives us two thoughts of this reconciliation. One is universal, right? But when it came to you and to me, who were alienated and enemies, we have heard sufficient stories of the prodigal and Romans. It says, how did he reconcile us? He reconciled us. Look how the Spirit of God puts something. Sometimes you want to like pause a little bit and contemplate. Through the body of his flesh. Well, wasn't it through the body is sufficient? And the flesh here is really means two different words, but it means the body. It doesn't mean the flesh, because there was nothing like this in Christ. But it is the body of his flesh. This means that everything that was involved in his, I say it reverently, in his being as a man, went into the domain of death. What do I mean by this? That even his body, soul, and spirit suffered the judgment of death so that God could come out. How do I find out that the alienation has been dealt with through the death of Christ? How do I find out that the enmity has been set aside? The veil was rent from top to bottom. Never from the bottom to top. It was from top to bottom. And when Christ died in the work of reconciliation, God veils, that veil that separated man from God was ripped from top to bottom. But it was through the body, through every being in the death of Christ. No wonder in the book of Psalm, the Lord Jesus describes his suffering through death and for atonement. He says, my bones are out of joint. He says, I am poured out like water, his soul, and my heart is like wax, melted in the midst of my bowels, his spirit. The body of his flesh went into death so that you and I could be brought near to God. How did we bring near to us? Now, there is a man in the glory. There's a man in the glory. This is what will make us suitable to be in that scene, because I just want to touch quickly about Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is that hope of glory? Because if I don't understand the hope of glory, I might miss the epistle of Colossians. In the hope of the glory, there are two things as far as chapter 1 and chapter 3. Chapter 3, we will be manifested with him in glory. That's the millennium. And brethren, we're going to manifest with him. It doesn't matter how the world appears right now. Let's be at rest. We will be manifested with him. In glory. But Christ in you, the hope of glory, you remember these three features? Holy, unblameable, irreproachable. Brethren, bring these three that you brought, Luke 15. Bring them here. Put them here. Holy is the best robe. What is the best robe? It's Christ himself. Is that me and you? That's the hope of glory. He's not talking about Christ, our hope. We know he's our hope. He's coming. But the hope of glory that heaven will be filled with many myriads of saints that will bear the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the hope of the glory. It is not only bringing saints up. He's bringing many sons to glory. And it's not about the sonship, but it is bearing the image of him that is heavenly. What a wonderful God we have, dear saints of God. That Christ in us, the hope of the glory, that one day heaven and the Father's house will be filled with many that will be just like Christ. And that's what the Spirit of God is doing, his work, that Christ might be formed in you. So brethren, if I said the best robe is Christ, to be holy. Unblameable, the ring speaks of royalty. You remember the stories when somebody has the ring? It speaks of royalty. And then the last one is irreproachable. Nobody can reprove that person, the sandal in his shoes, dignity. This is the work of reconciliation, dear saints, that God in his grace and mercy have so it fit that we will have and we will be like Christ, the hope of glory. We will be royalty, and he bestowed dignity upon us. And out of these three features, I trust that we will have greater appreciation of all what God has done right according to himself.